Plus, Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Jim Lindbergh is here tonight from Pennywise.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. Good. You know, when I saw the Pennywise name up on the roster there, I thought, oh, Christ. Then they said Fletcher wasn't coming, and I thought, oh, good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it struck me as big a pain in the ass as Fletcher is as nice as everyone else in the band actually is.
Yes. We have to balance.
Yeah. It's like, because you guys, like...
Yin and yang.
Like, yeah, here's what it would be. It's like, if Fletcher puts you up to an 11 on the a-hole meter, but you want to average like a 4.5 or 5.
Find the universe, the golden mean.
Yeah, so I'm saying you got to balance it out. You got to be super saccharine sweet.
I am the nicest guy you'll ever meet. I can tell you that.
It's true.
I'd never say a bad word about anyone.
Fletcher.
I've only got nice things
even
to say.
Fletcher.
Except Fletcher.
Should we revisit that night? Should we revisit the first vomit night? Just for
Well, we should probably do that. I don't know if Engineer Anderson is in the driver's seat back there. We wouldn't have heard the first vomit,
right,
yes?
Right, right.
Okay, here is a situation, and I'm going to just talk while Anderson scours through his tapes over there.
He had it ready to roll.
All right, well, I'll set it up anyway. Yeah. This is Pennywise's appearance. I was not here. This is before my time.
Adam, yeah.
Ricky Rackman is hosting the show.
Yeah.
The show's not national.
No, it's just in Los Angeles.
It's back at the mother station, K-Rock.
In Burbank.
This is 11 years ago?
11 years ago.
Is it 11?
Yeah.
Stop agreeing
at
with
least
me.
10.
Seems like yesterday.
At least 10. Yes, it does.
At least 10 years ago, because then when Pennywise came on again, I was on the show.
Yes.
But it'd been a couple of years.
Several years.
And so it could be 11, could be 12 years.
Yes, and it was about 11:50 at this point.
It's getting to the end of the show.
Yeah.
And set the scene.
Fletcher, I actually used to run the board in those
now,
days.
Now, most people know Fletcher's a large man who listen to the show and watch the concerts and whatnot. But and let me tell you something about big too. There's different kinds of big. There's sort of guys you see at the gym that are sort of they're like chickens on hormones.
Yes.
Big, skinny ankles,
right,
and waist, but sort of big guns.
And there's Yao Ming.
And then there's Yao Ming big.
This is bigger than Yao Ming, just not as tall.
Yeah, that's just.
Yeah.
Yeah, then there's
thick.
Big.
Yeah,
Viking.
There's
Viking.
Thick.
Here's a Viking.
Thick.
Yeah.
They're guys who've made themselves big,
yeah,
and then there are guys
born
who come from a planet where people are 80% bigger.
I swear to God.
He's just that bigger. He comes from that planet.
If Fletch put his hand on your back, it would cover your back.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got a paddle for a
just,
hand.
Just, you know, 6'7", 6'8", yeah, a good natural 300 and...
Plus.
330 pounds, and not because he's, you know,
not
on
fat.
The juice.
Nor particularly fat.
No, but...
Just thin.
He's got a little guy.
I'll grant you, he's not thin.
No. He's no waif model.
Anyway,
I'm saying a mammoth man.
And so he had been eating pizza pie.
Yes.
And you can imagine just sort of mows through them. He just sort of like, it's like a cartoon. He kind of spins them around and eats them.
And tequila.
And tequila and beer, yeah.
Little airplane bottles underneath the console.
The pepperoni, the tequila.
Yes. And then decided he wanted to vomit on you, Drew.
Well, and I was sitting across these elaborate consoles here that run, Chris now runs it. I used to run the console. And and Rick, you sit behind it with me. Well,
ironically,
yes, sat on this side.
You didn't get paid.
Yeah, I didn't get paid.
Now you get a king's ransom for doing nothing.
That's right, for just sitting quietly and laughing at your jokes.
Okay, go ahead.
I say, wouldn't it be marvelous? So he saw fit to. He'd been talking a little bit about vomiting, right?
Yeah, I think he was planning on doing it. And as the show went on, he got more liquid courage. But my favorite part of the story is the fact that you had people there observing you that night, didn't you? There was a couple from like a doctor institution that were watching you.
I never heard that part of the story.
They went screaming from
the
place.
Yes, that's true. And the other part, as you listen to this tape, the other part you'll miss that you don't get the visual is everyone left the studio. Everyone ran out of the studio except me and Fletch. And Fletch towers over me. He was standing over me, sticking his finger down his throat, vomiting on me. And I got backed into a corner.
Now let's just do a little math for one second.
Yeah.
You would rather get urinated on than vomited on.
Absolutely.
Any day. As a doctor.
And as a human.
And
as a doctor,
I like about you, you're right thinking. Because I tell people, I'd rather get whizzed on than someone hawk a loogie on me.
Yep.
And everyone's like, are you kidding me?
Yes, pee is nice and sterile.
It's very sterile.
No mucopolysaccharides. It's just a certain kind of liquid.
Right. And, yeah, here's the thing. Yeah, the vomit. Well, Drew, you probably still, if I shine a flashlight in your ear, I can probably still find a little bit of
pepperoni,
Fletcher's vomit.
Some pepperoni from Fletch, yeah, absolutely.
There. Yeah, okay, vomit. So where's vomit rank? So vomit is above,
is the very worst. It's sputum, true, thick, disgusting, infected sputum is the worst, but vomit's right behind.
All right. What about number two?
That's above the vomit.
It's up there, too?
It's up there.
Okay, go ahead.
And by the way, he almost conveyed you to Poopoo City. It's a different story.
It's another time.
But so he's vomiting over me on top of me, and I'm punching him in the face to stand him up.
He held his own.
I climbed up, strange enough, I scrambled up on a cabinet that Adam had built in this studio. We didn't even know each other.
Oh,
it was
really?
Those cabinets that you built in there.
Yes, it couldn't have been. It had to be a little less than 10 years ago.
Brand new.
How dare he attempt to vomit on my beautiful oak cabinetry. Yeah, well, as everyone knows, I used to be a carpenter, and back when I was... getting $50 a bit to help out on the morning show. I was having to supplement my income I actually rebuilt the studio while I was on. Not at the same time. I'm not that good. But I was doing Bertram on the morning show and in the afternoon rebuilding the studio.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah, it was me. So Drew hopped up on my new cab. Sturdy, they held you. Yes.
Wonderful. Yeah, no problem, David. And I was punching Fletcher to get him to stand up and stuff like that. And it was like punching.
Yeah, he was laughing.
Tar Baby or something. It's just like my hands went through him. It was like trying to punch a wave. Yeah,
you just get knocked over by
a whale or something. It just doesn't even bite.
I like whale.
All right, let's hear how it went down because the mics were on.
Okay, go ahead.
That's fine. I mean, I was just wondering, what's the chance?
No, please don't throw up on me.
Oh my God! Get out of here! Get out of here! Stop it!
Love line is over. I'm pretty much currently.
Get out of here! Get away from me!
Okay, bye. Yes, love line is over. It's not our fault. We have a big ugly man in our guitar band.
Get out of here!
And
you're playing a song.
Yes.
Get away from me!
Get the hell out! Can I come over? Are we on the air?
Yes.
Please. All right, you guys. Come here.
They're coming in throughout the F word in the air.
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
And no better instinct for a radio producer than to run out.
First ask, are we on the air?
Drop an F-bomb, and then ask if we're on the air. And by the way, why wouldn't we be on the air? What do you think happened?
Just because somebody's vomiting on people. People are running everywhere.
Yeah, but it's
You never heard that, Chris?
Chris never heard that.
All the retching you heard was over me with coming down on my head.
Yeah,
it's good times.
I mean, it's as if
you couldn't leave because you're running the board.
I was running the board, and in fact, as you noticed when the music came up, that was me.
I
sat back down, and turned the music
Drew,
up.
What a trooper!
Thank you.
And your wife called, and she was like, "Are you okay?"
Yes, I remember that.
Oh, please! Your wife's still listening to the show. Still can't stop listening to the goddamn show.
Good times.
All right. Well, just taking a little. So if you were on top of my brand new cabinetry.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it had to be.
You had that ledge down below, remember?
Yeah, there was lockers for the shocks down below that raised up above the floor about 16 inches. So you jumped up on that. You're 6'1". You'd be just about the height of Fletcher.
Yeah, I was like eyeball to eyeball.
All right. God bless you, Drew. So good. We can figure that out.
Yeah, it's a little walk down memory lane. It's nice. Yeah. It's a good time.
All right. So here's what I was thinking about Pennywise, though. So there they were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But Pennywise has been around for how many years now, Jim?
Oh, God. Since 88. So what does that make us?
16 years?
16, jeez.
And, you know, Pennywise, it struck me as been sort of much like Drew was slogging away at Fletch. It sort of gaining more popular this year than they were the last year for the last 10 or 12 years.
They might have a little bit of bad religion in that they just are not going away.
Right.
Yeah, always going to be.
I think people sort of went, all right, this is one of these kind of bands. They'll be fun. They're not going to sell a lot of records, but they'll be a good time and they'll show up and everything.
Right.
And then
that became that band.
Yeah, they became that band. Yeah, they're Pennywise.
We won't go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's nice. And people.
Thank you.
People are. I don't know if you're getting. Are you getting rich off Pennywise?
We've quit our day jobs for 15 years. So
that's good.
That's very good for me.
Yeah.
I don't like to work that much.
And the big promotion that Jim is talking about is the on the 24th of April, which is that this Sunday? When is that?
Saturday.
Saturday. They're doing a Earth Day Surf Rider Foundation surf contest, which is down at the, where is that?
Manhattan Beach at Rosecrans.
Do you live down there?
Yeah. Got it. Yeah,
it's going to be a great contest, and there's still people can still go down there and enter if they want to. There's longboarding, shortboarding, boogie boarding, trick competition, all types of things, and or just come down and watch and check it out. It's going to be a great event.
If you want more information about it, go to www.surfrider.org, and we'll give you more about that. We'll hear something from Pennywise, and first we'll go to the phones. Shauna?
Oh, boy.
Yep. Shauna?
There we go. Whoever you are, go right ahead.
She said Shauna the
she
exact
said
same
Donna.
Time.
Right, Shauna, yeah. How's it
all
going?
Right.
Good, what's up?
Nothing much. I just wanted to ask you guys a question about, you know, relationships or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm dealing with this girl on and off for about 2 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But now things are getting kind of shaky again, because in the beginning, everything was great, of course. But now everything's getting shaky again, and I just wanted to ask you guys, what should I do about it?
So you're a lesbian?
Yeah.
And this is your girlfriend?
You got to understand something, Shauna. You're giving us nothing. You have given us no information. All you said, you have a relationship, and it's shaky. What should I do?
Okay, well,
we need a lot of detail. Who is this girl? What's the nature? Is she an abuse survivor, too, as I suspect you are? Is she just lesbian? Is she bisexual? What's her history like?
Are
you planning with this relationship?
She was.
Okay, you're both abusive.
Well, how do we know Shauna was abused?
I can just feel it.
No, you're being racist. You heard her say axe, and
no,
you figured she was abused.
No, you did.
Yes, you did. Drew's very racist.
Oh my goodness!
I just go by my feeling.
I don't see. Drew is colorblind, but he sure hears it, and he doesn't see it. But if he hears it, he goes right after.
I'll relax.
Now listen, Shauna. This is Adam, friend of the black man.
So
friend of
both
the
of you are going to have difficulty.
Everybody.
Yeah. So both of you. Yeah, Chris wants to kick your ass. Just with someone. Yeah. It's both of you have difficulty with the relationship. So what is it that now is coming to bear? What is it making difficult now? Why are things shaky?
Okay, at this moment, like as a week ago, she came to me and asked me, would I like to have an open relationship?
All right, so she's needing, so she likes chaos, right?
I'm assuming she does.
Yeah, and that's a bad sign.
We had a deep conversation last night, and she was telling me how she thinks that I'm a dramatic person and I like drama and all that. But I asked her, if I do, why am I so, you know what I'm saying, hurt by all this?
I think you both like a drama, but she likes chaos.
Well, and also in a drama, someone has to take turns. You have to sort of take turns playing the villain and playing the victim. And then one minute you're getting tied to the railroad tracks. The next minute you're tying her to the railroad tracks and doing that thing with your mustache where you twist it
twirling
at the end. Yeah. So Shauna.
Yes.
You were abused or were you not?
I wouldn't necessarily say I was abused, but when I was younger, I did lose my virginity.
How old were you?
At a very young age. I was 13. Oh. And from that point on, I had just went through this whole...
I'm getting physical abuse out of her.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I just went crazy, you know.
Yeah, but and, the reason you got the...
Right. Were you ever physical?
I can't even count how many... male partners that I have. Yeah.
You ever been physically abused?
Not by my family members or anybody I know of, no.
No one ever hit you, no one ever struck you.
Oh,
that, yeah, okay.
Drew
yeah.
counts that as yeah. physical abuse.
Yeah,
oh.
And that's why you started acting out at 13. And I bet you something even weird happened before the 13.
Well,
all right.
My father passed when I was like 12 going on 13.
All right, well, let's try to fix this thing up. Here's the long and the short of it, Shauna. Oh,
by the way, Shauna, you can do better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Than her.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. When people come from abuse, like she does and you sort of does, and just your dad passing away when you're young and all that kind of stuff, it makes for very chaotic relationships.
Right.
And that's what you're in the middle of.
Okay.
And it's going to be hard for you to ever really pin her down because
she can't tolerate
she won't be able to tolerate it.
Yeah.
She'll be able to put things she'll be able to put together a few good weeks, maybe in a few good months,
and
but then it's not going to work.
And the people with personality constructs like your girlfriends have very intense relationships. It feels like, "Oh my God, this is the world's most intense, amazing connection."
Right.
No, it's just more chaos. It follows.
It's like the guy who can't give up the booze, who puts together a good 6 months, and he's got his life together, and he got his job back, and his old lady took him back, and then all of a sudden we can't find him again. And everyone wants to know why. And there's no good reason why, but people don't need a good reason why.
Oh, I know many, many reasons why, but the fact is...
No, but I mean, people are perplexed. They're
what happened?
He finally got it together.
No,
what is he doing?
No.
I can't believe it. He had everything back.
That's the fact that people just change, shuffle things around on the surface. The real change doesn't occur unless people get treatment.
All right. So, Shauna, if things don't go on for you two... I think we're okay with it, is what I'm saying.
I feel like, Shauna, there are better things ahead for her. She needn't be around chaos all her life.
All right. Jonathan?
Yes.
Jim gave a knowing nod, by the way.
Jim, no stranger to radio. National radio.
Well, the Drew radio
he
technique.
He went to the Dr. Drew School of radio technique.
You guys just have all the answers. I'm letting you run it.
Drew will do the knowing nod. Mm-hmm. He'll do the I don't know look
without saying anything. Yeah. How dare you?
Yeah, once in a while he'll do the count me in hand raise. Like who amongst us hasn't
full hand raise? But there's the okay sign too.
The okay sign.
Yeah. And there's this.
Yeah,
you're right.
Point at people, and then once in a while.
That was
the beat off sign. Once in a while, when he wants to really let the audience know he's physically in the studio, he'll sock the mic. Oftentimes using an implement like his frame of glasses, sometimes even his coffee mug. Yeah. He will use crude tools to do it. Yeah, that's a good
example. Still hasn't mastered it.
Yeah, because people will be sitting in their car going, has Drew had a stroke? Did he actually leave the building? And just when they're thinking that, the shrewd one over here, the Marcel Marceau of radio, bangs a coffee mug against.
That was weak. So what's this?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not you, buddy.
No, kidding.
I'm a mere mortal.
But you do have that universal beat off sign down. Adam cannot discuss.
I can't talk about masturbating.
He won't talk about it without giving the sign. I don't care. He could be
his
in front
hand
of
starts to clench up.
The Queen Mother. He'll if it comes up, the hand goes. It's just. Wow. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I could be addressing Congress saying, esteemed members of Congress, I talk to many young people throughout our great nation. We talk about topics ranging from childhood obesity, alcoholism, masturbation. Yeah, my hand would
involuntary.
My hand would just start moving. I can't say. Yeah.
And the other hand goes to the remote control.
Jim's got the remote hand, too.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's why this needs to be a TV show.
Let me tell you something. I don't know who can, there are all these things that you never really look at until you bring the item home or you never even think about. But I'll tell you one thing that I could go for is a whisper quiet VCR. Because,
sometimes
in the middle of the night.
Don't they call that a DVD?
Wife's taking an 8-hour nap upstairs, and I decided to toss a little something on just to relive some of the glory days. And, you don't realize, like, in the still of the night, 2 in the morning kind of, you think, pop, shop. I mean, like, VCR stopped, they make a thud, and then pop, and then they just start, go to most VCRs, just go in the middle of the night, like, try to be as quiet as you can, in the middle of the night, 2 in the morning or something, hit eject. Shink, bar, pop, doors flying open and stuff. I mean, really, it's like if it was a movie, it's like you'd be entering a spaceship or something. How could so much noise come out of this little box?
And she'll bolt straight up in bed when she hears that. She could be like the other side of the house.
And it's mechanical noise, too. You know what I'm saying? It's like gears engaging, stuff stopping and popping, levers moving.
Yeah.
I could use one that was, I'd pay an extra $100 for just the one that whisper quiet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes,
okay.
Christmas list.
Jonathan?
I think the DVD would replace all that, yeah?
Yeah, the other thing, yeah, it would, but yeah. They got their, well, it's a difference. I got my own set of problems with that. The other thing that you don't know about with VCRs is they rewind at dramatically different speeds. Some, you hit rewind, it's like, stop, and you're about 10 seconds earlier in the thing, well, and then others, that? You're down at the beginning
and
already.
Most VCRs have like a little wind-up, like
some do.
You can't tell what the hell's going on.
Here's all I would like. I would like them to standardize this thing knew like a good three Mississippi got me halfway through the
film.
You're
looking for standardized life. Think about
how
many times you've asked for that.
All I'm saying is when you buy like a VCR, you don't think about the noise factor. You don't think about the rewind speed. You just kind of look at it and go, this one's got a clock. Yeah. And that's about it. I'm just saying these are all things you don't discover.
Right.
Same with the portable phones, too, at home. Like you realize things are ergonomically horrible 2 days after you've been using them. You can never figure it out in the store. Mm. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to figure that out.
It's like they need to allow you to take them home for a few days.
Yeah, you know what I think? I think if I had my own Japanese coach, he could help me.
Coach?
Yeah, be a small Japanese guy. Mr. Otaki, I would call him. A very smart man. And he would whisper pearls of wisdom into my ear before I actually made the purchase. You know what I mean?
Yeah, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jonathan?
Hey.
You're 16?
Yeah. First off, Dr. Drew, I just wanted to let you know, you are the man who's going to make me become a psychologist later, because I've listened to your show for so long, and I've basically learned all the answers to all the things you guys have to say.
Well, that's great, John.
Yeah.
But I had a question about condom usage in pools and hot tubs.
Yeah.
I've had sex with my girlfriend one time in a hot tub. We used a condom, and pretty soon she's getting on the pill, because, well, I've learned a lot of stuff from listening to your show.
Good.
And can the chlorine in a pool or a hot tub or anything, can that break down a condom?
Yeah, they don't tend to work as well in the pool. In fact, the condom manufacturers, the Trojan people particularly, get all upset about that. Like, don't use it in the pool.
Why?
The heat and the friction and the lubricant comes off, and they just don't think they work as well. But if it didn't fail when you were using it, it's not as though there's microscopic failure. You'd know it if it failed.
Plus,
it would come off or it would break. That's
do what I do.
Yeah,
is
I
mean, you?
I just don't want to risk it, though.
Yeah, well, it didn't happen, you're fine.
You didn't do it yet.
No, I
didn't. Did.
We enjoy it, and we want to keep doing that because we like the pool and hot tub idea. But
all right, well, after you're on the pill.
Right.
Listen good. This is your dad's hot tub? Her dad's hot tub?
This is actually my hot tub. I saved up for it.
You saved up for it? 16?
You saved up for it? I couldn't afford a hot tub until I was 33. Wait,
that's a player right there.
16?
Do you want a car? No, I want a hot tub.
Saved up for a hot tub?
They got me a car, and I saved up on my own without really telling them that I was saving up that much money, and then I was like, hey, I want a hot tub. So they're like, okay, you pay for it.
Where is the hot tub in your room? Where is it?
We turned a back room into a sports bar, and then we got it extended, and I put my weights back there.
Live at Graceland or something?
I'm
where do you?
My dad,
this guy's
right
in Memphis.
Nuts.
He lives in Graceland.
Right in the nuts.
Where does he? It's got to be a huge, like a horse. From
I was calling from Memphis.
Yeah. Do you live at Graceland, Jonathan? Where do you live?
I live in East Memphis. We're not rich or anything. We're just comfortable. I just decided that's what I wanted to save up for.
You have a sports bar in your house.
Oh, well, they got a bust of W.C. Fields' head, and they got a party ball, a Coors party ball in the black and white Zenith. Come on, and like a Rams pennant on the wall.
Well, my mom's a Miami Dolphins fan, and my stepdad's a Chiefs fan, and we just saw this room, and we moved in here, and we're like, that's going to be our sports bar. So we have like little parties. Yeah.
What do your parents do for a living?
My mom's a real estate agent, and my stepdad, he has just opened up his own putting green business. He installs, professional putting green turf in backyards and stuff.
How about your biological dad? What's he up to?
He's around. They live, two streets down from each other. It's great.
And what does he do?
Accountant for a hotel company.
All right. Yeah. All right, so how much did the hot tub set you back?
I saved up $7,000, I think. I just had money for a while.
What kind of hot tub? $7,000?
Oh, my God.
You're the man.
Thank God you're not into drugs.
Is this your girlfriend, or are you flying whores in from Nevada?
This is my girlfriend.
Bangkok, Nevada.
Bangkok, yeah. first off, how do you save up $7,000 at 16? You doing gay porn? What are you doing?
I've been working, over the summer, for like the first, 13 through 16, I didn't really have a social life, and then I just kind of like opened up sophomore year.
What kind of job did you do?
I worked for my girlfriend at the time. Her dad owned a tiling company. And now I'm going back out with her.
A tiling company, did you say?
I thought he said a talent company.
What kind of company?
He owns his own tiling company.
Tiling. All right.
So he learned a trade at 13.
I'll give him dropping a big. You know what I'm going to do with my dad? I'm
going to kick him in the nuts.
Well, I'm going to walk up to him like I'm greeting him. Hey, how you doing? I do that thing with my hand.
Yeah.
And then just big uppercut to the solar plexus, and then I drop the elbow on the grind. Yeah. When he's down on the ground reeling, I'll time it. Last time I did it, he was rolling over onto his stomach, and I just dropped the elbow on the hip. This time, right on the grind. And
That's for the guy in Memphis with the hot tub down.
Yeah, this is the guy with the sports bar. Yeah. All right.
It's a good time.
Jim here from Pennywise. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jim is here from Pennywise.
Yep.
Lead singer Pennywise, for your information. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jim is here talking about the Surfrider Earth Day Foundation surfing contest, which is going on Manhattan Beach, April 24th. That's this Saturday. And still plenty of openings for you longboarders and shortboarders and mediumboarders and trick guys and boogie boarders. And all you got to do is go to www.surfrider.org. During the break, I was trying to convince Dr. Drew that...
Break, I think I'd be the right word. Break me.
Yes, I was trying to convince him he's more miserable than he thinks he is. Because I don't judge my happiness based on how I feel. It's a relative thing. If I can get everyone around me to be miserable, well, then you do the math.
You heard the conversation. It was like, no, I really enjoy this. No, you don't. No, you don't. I'm telling you.
Drew is going to a little place called Ithaca tomorrow, which I have been at with Drew
remember
before.
How beautiful that was?
No.
We walked all over. Remember we walked around the town that...
We took a walk. I gave you a handy,
and it was beautiful.
You gave me a $10 bill, and that's all I remember. Oh, and a wet nap.
That was what you.
Oh no! I took a wet nap. Yes. That's right. That's totally different. See how the mind works. Here's how you get to Ithaca, Drew. Tell everyone what time they're picking you up tomorrow.
I'm driving myself.
No, I know. What time you're leaving the Drew Homestead
house? Because I tried to do this last week for ahead. A 6:30 flight, getting to United Airlines, getting there at 6 o'clock. I almost missed the flight, so I'm going to get there more like 5:40 tomorrow, so I'll leave at 5:10.
You'll be leaving your home at 5:10 in the a.m.
I'll be getting up at 4:40.
All right, let's keep the journey going. You'll be getting up. Now, you'll be getting home tonight about 12:30, but you'll be getting up about 4:30, 4:40.
As Adam would say, the beauty of me is I'll be getting home at 12:30, too. I'll be asleep at 12:38.
So you can get a whole 2 hours and 36 minutes in. So you get up. You get up at 4:30.
Yeah.
And then what? Into the shower, into the car, on to LAX.
Yeah.
Get a good, guy who works at a diamond mine type cornholing and x-raying,
yes.
Right, as
yes.
you go. Yeah. And then on to the plane.
Yeah.
On the plane about 6:30.
3.5 hours to
Chicago.
3.5
to Chicago.
2 hours in Chicago.
2 hour layover in the Chicago airport.
Then another hour and a half, 2 hours to Syracuse.
Another airport, another flight.
And then a flight to Syracuse.
Their flight to Syracuse. Then once into Syracuse.
Get in a car.
Right.
Drive for an hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
Give a talk.
I'm getting tired already.
And before you know it, give a little talk.
Give a talk.
Back in the car for another hour and a half.
Talk. Meet and greet.
A little meet and greet.
Then back in the car for an hour and a half. And then Loveline.
Then Loveline. All right. Yes.
That's good times.
Scary.
All for what would sound like a lot of money to most of you, but in reality, just isn't. All right. Take my word for it. That's the point. All right, but he loves the kids and he loves to travel. Kimberly.
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
And by the way, if I were your wife, I would take this as a slap in the face, because if you love this, something's wrong at home. And I know she's listening, but you know what I'm saying?
No. Yeah. I'd rather be with her.
You would?
Yeah.
Except you're going to take 30 planes and a hovercraft just to make a nickel on the other side of the country. All right.
Now, let's fill out the conversation. What I was saying was how I enjoy seeing the country.
He loves
the kids. I have a
purpose
to go there and talking to people.
And he likes going to a prestigious school.
I love going to the big schools, yeah.
He loves Cornell.
For me, really, the highlight of the entire sort of college thing I've done was speaking at Princeton.
Banging co-eds.
And going to Princeton.
Right.
Nice school.
Yeah. Nice place. All right. Kimberly?
Yes.
You know what I'm going to do? Because it always makes me feel better. And I want everyone to do this. I want everyone within the sound of my voice. Jim, I'd like you to do this. What's the engineer's name?
Chris.
Yeah. I'm going to need you to do this one, too. I want everybody to do this. Promise me that at 4:45... You try to wake up somewhere in the evening, somewhere in the middle of the night. It could be 4:30. It could be 5:10. I just want you to wake up just long enough to look at the clock, see that it says 4:39, and think, I'm not going anywhere for another 6.5 hours. But Dr. Drew is getting his ass up, and it ain't going to be light for another 5 hours.
Cruel.
But it makes you feel better. Do you ever do that?
Oh, yeah, because I have to do it all the time.
Because you're on the losing end of it a lot.
It'll
right?
make me feel great. Great to know that I'm not going anywhere tomorrow.
4:45. Let's all look at our.
Or you can go
Jim,
5:10.
Call you.
Yeah,
5:10. And think about me hauling down the.
Yeah,
the Hollywood
yeah better,
freeway.
Better,
yeah.
better. Picture him spilling coffee on himself yeah. and trying to negotiate the driveway yeah. to 5:05.
Yeah, yeah, that's
it's great.
I love that.
And you know what you should do? You need to do. You need to break wind, pull the comforter up just a little higher, and do that, and settle back in
snuggle
again.
Snuggle back in.
yeah.
Thinking of Drew.
It'll make me feel good to know I've made you all feel good.
Oh, it feels so good to do that.
Ah, yeah.
Kimberly.
Yeah.
I want to go now and prepare. I'm that excited about this moment. I don't want to. I'm going to set my alarm. I want to get all ready.
That's good times.
Kimberly, you're 21. What's up?
I'm dating another young gentleman, and he has a mild case of cystic fibrosis. And I was wondering, when we have sex, he doesn't seem like he's enjoying it that much. And when he comes, it's actually like, compared to other guys I have, I'm not feeling the orgasm. Like, I'm not feeling the contraction.
Is he listening right now? Is he around?
No, he's not.
I don't know what cystic fibrosis is, but I'm picturing part of his spine coming out
when
he has an orgasm.
No, it's a lung disease.
No?
It's, okay. It's a disorder of how glands produce chloride and things.
There's a lot of mucus, and so I'm thinking, you know, maybe I know 95% of men with cystic fibrosis are sterile, so I'm thinking his case is mild, but there might be some blockage in the tubes which may be blocking him from coming, or is he not into the sex?
I would be more, I don't have a lot of experience with young people with cystic fibrosis, but I'd be more inclined to think it was some of the medication he perhaps is on. What kind of medicines is he taking?
He's taken a lot of some steroids for the lungs, and then you know, just the enzymes for digestion.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's on a lot of stuff.
I bet you it's the medicine.
No matter what medicine you get on or what medication you get on, it immediately heads right for the junk.
It does.
Unless, ironically, it's for the junk, in which case it hits like your elbow and your forehead. But you know, you get on antidepressants and all these antibiotics.
Steroids,
and
absolutely.
All this stuff.
We're not talking about these. Not anabolic steroids. These are cortical anti-inflammatory steroids, and yes, they can affect. And then those can affect mood. And God knows, you may be on an antidepressant now. So there's a lot going on here, Kimberly.
And you're saying, and I know, Kimberly, you're translating this into, is he just not that into me?
Well, not into me, but like just maybe
what does it mean?
Doesn't enjoy sex that much.
Yeah, but is that based on the
intensity of a muscular contraction during orgasm? No.
Well, it's just that you know, guys always say that it's good. They enjoy pleasuring females, and it's good to have them, you know, actually feel them come when they're having intercourse. And
Hold on. You're preaching to the choir, sister.
Wait a minute.
I know all about that.
Wait, what did you say?
I'm just saying personally, in, you know, I enjoy the male orgasm the way.
Okay, hold on a second. No one has ever brought that up on this show, but
I know,
always
that's
been,
what I was talking. Nobody ever, no female ever says I enjoy the way the male and I've orgasm always been, feels
no, inside. No. But I believe that is something that women are sort of wired to. To be gratified by, right? Because that makes sense. That's what that's what the goal of the thing is. And I think not enough is made of that. There's because women will say, you know, they're very upset if they don't feel the man or experience that receptive experience. It's mm-hmm. incomplete. And yet having the orgasm, well, that doesn't matter. Then I don't have to an orgasm, but you got to do this in me. It doesn't feel right otherwise.
Biological.
Right. Well, it makes sense, right? But it's not discussed, interestingly. It's not. Women don't talk about it very much. I'm interested that Kim brought that up.
Well, what about the sensation... Of the weight and the warmth after I've spread the gym shirt over them like a coaster, you know what I mean, like a placemat, you know what I mean?
You mean that's something they look for, they drive for?
Yeah, I mean it's just you know what I mean. You can still you don't exactly get that same sensation.
Not exactly.
You do,
no.
You do
a little
feel
different.
It.
Little different.
Okay.
Little different. Okay, not quite what I was talking about.
But you can get a rub down through your shirt.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but not. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But
okay.
You can't actually insert something into my scapula.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Well, you've tried, admittedly.
I get a run at it. Kimberly?
Yeah.
Interesting point. Yeah. And let's look. Okay, quiet down. Let's look at it this way. Couple of things. First off, when people have an illness, I would imagine that just the same as they... tell me if I'm wrong here, but when you have an illness, depending on what kind... You can't do as many push-ups as regular guys.
Mm-hmm, right.
You can't do a lot of things as like a regular guy. I mean, right. I would imagine that most things are decreased. Yes. The physical things are sort of decreased a certain amount.
Absolutely.
And this would just be another one of those things. And then now you add the medication and you got all that. But Drew oftentimes talks about women being receptive.
Yes.
And sort of biologically, if you think about women, like what's in it for them sexually... Well, I mean, if you just sort of do the reproduction math and you think, well, how what were we put on this? You know, before all the German stump porn and the Bukkake and whatnot came around, if you just sort of peel the onion back to its essence, it's about us. It's got to feel good for us to implant our seed into the woman. And, right. and it has to be somehow satisfying for the woman
to receive it.
Yeah, otherwise, what's in it?
Right.
And they didn't have jewelry back in the day.
No, that's right. And women, again, don't have a drive to orgasm. Many women. Some do.
Right.
And there's this whole range of how women respond. But many, the orgasm is sort of like a secondary experience. But the receptivity is much more important sometimes.
Thank God.
They need that. Yeah.
Thank God.
So it would stand to reason that most women, at least, if not biologically, at least sort of... developmentally or something. Maybe not developmentally, but historically,
evolutionary.
Yeah.
It makes evolutionary sense.
It does, that they would get some satisfaction out of receiving that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All right. Hey, Crank Yankers on tonight, by the way.
Hey, good times.
Forgot about the old Crank and the old Yank. Jim's here from Pennywise tonight.
Yep.
We got to hear a Pennywise song. Not now.
Shortly.
Drew talked too much about his travels. But... But when we come back, oh, yes, there will be Pennywise. After this.
Oh, God.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jim here from Pennywise. We're going to hear something off the CD. Jim is here talking about the Surfrider Foundation and Big Earth Day coming up. Drew, how are you going to celebrate?
Earth Day?
He's going to celebrate by doing donuts in his old lady's SUV on the lawn of the Greenpeace headquarters in Pasadena.
Oh, yes. Man, you are creative.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
He was going to chop down a tree, but now this is going to work for you. Yes, Drew?
It's going to work.
All right. All right, so, oh, no. Mm-hmm. What is that? Is that Fletcher over there?
No, we decided to let him in.
Oh, no, scare me for a second.
Some people from Surfrider, they all look alike.
Yeah, or the hats, the sunglasses at night. They're always tilting Tecatis.
Oh, jeez.
All right, so here's the deal. You go to www.surfrider.org and you find out all the information you need to need about this weekend's big surfing event in Manhattan Beach. Hey, here's the thing. I don't care if you surf. Hot chicks. Tons of hot chicks.
Yeah.
Hot chicks. And all you got to do is time their exit from the water with your exit from the water. So that's what I'll do. I'll actually go down there with a broken surfboard and come out of the water with the broken, just shake the thing
around.
The problem
is Adam wears the white socks and the Converse the high tops.
Sandals. I'll come running out of the water and they're like, what happened? Oh, I mean, I got something, you know, double, triple overhead. I use stuff like that. And they're like, well, we haven't seen anything larger than 3 feet all day. No, man, I'm in from Maui. I swam it. Yeah, whatever. Big surf out there. Hit some coral. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get laid. Yeah. Lots of tons of hot chicks. They love the sun.
Say dude a lot. You know,
yeah.
Let's hear a song.
Let's hear a song.
If we don't do it now, we're not going to hear it.
You want me to sing a song about surfing? Or
no,
I want to
hear Pennywise.
Yeah.
All right. Chris?
Yeah.
What you got over there? You ready? Queued up there, buddy? This one's called Something to Change. Hopefully there's...
Change, something to break, some way to get away, cause I need something to change, something to break, some way to get away, cause I need something to change, something to break, some way to get away, cause I need something to do, cause something to prove, some way to get away from you.
Drew had me a little name flashback that they're right screaming at me. It's a week for 10 years. All right, we get it. You're a doctor, right? Dad, you know, paid off the whoever, or medical boards or whatever. He got the tests. Right. Pennywise, everybody.
Yep.
We are going to get back to the phones, talk to Daniel, who has a question for Jim. Daniel?
Yeah.
You're 14.
Yep, that's right.
What's up?
Drew, you're smart. Anderson, you got a cool job because you get to push buttons.
Right.
And, yeah, Adam, you're awesome. You're like my idol.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got like major eyebrows like you.
Daniel does sound like a young Adam, doesn't he?
He's got the big brows at 14.
I didn't have the pronounced brow at 14.
I called in a couple of weeks ago.
I was going to say you called before.
Florida.
I recognize his voice.
Yeah, you got pissed because I mumbled the...
Okay, go ahead, buddy.
Okay. Yeah, Pennywise, you guys are awesome. Or, well, you're awesome because not the whole band's there. But are you guys going to make any more CDs? Or are you doing anything right now?
we're finishing up touring on this last record, and then over the summer we're going to write some new songs. We're writing right now, and we'll probably put out a record before Christmas sometime.
Awesome.
We're really excited about that. So, yeah, we're just going to keep going until, I don't know, they make us stop.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Daniel.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
No problem.
Now, when did you call the show last?
I don't know, like 2-3 weeks ago, probably.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's give it a couple months before you call back.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Good times.
And I hope he takes that in the spirit that it was intended.
Yeah.
Yes?
Oh, yes.
Keep listening, Daniel.
All right.
But don't call.
No, he's good people. And he's got the big brow, which I like. Mm-hmm. Driving in here tonight, saw that cardinal sin of cops, where the cop car's going 48 on the freeway, and everyone's scared to pass him. Because it's like you're driving on the freeway, and there's the cop, and he's going 50. And L.A.'s nothing but 55 and 60, but you're never quite sure which zone you're in.
Right.
And I'm somewhere in the middle of Hollywood trying to figure out, where are we? Are we 55 or are we 60? And then so you start slowing down because you just don't want to pass him. And it's sort of like, I guess when royalty would, you know, tour the grounds, no one wants to go running past him. You know, the line forms in the rear.
You can't let your head get higher than the king.
Right. So I think, no, it sort of feels more guilty, me going 37 miles an hour on the freeway.
Yeah.
Like I'm a junkie now. So I just blew past him.
There you go.
Feeling empowered. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
Power trip by the police.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jim here tonight from Pennywise. Colby here tomorrow night from Survivor. And, you know, there's a lot of weeks where we come around to Thursday and it's like, wow, what happened to the week?
This is not that week.
No, it's not.
This is the opposite.
This could easily be Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're barely into it.
Yeah, I'm here. Last week, vanished.
Pow.
Yeah.
Gone. This week, it's like some bad dream that won't end.
It's because I was gone. I'm back.
And Jim,
Fletcher could have been here, though.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now we go into the realm of nightmare. Yeah. I was just sort of unpleasant dream. Yeah. I, by the way, would rather have a nightmare than some of the dreams I have, where it's just sort of general nuisance dreams. I came out and some guy dinged up my car. You know what I mean? Like, sort of, I'd rather be chased by, you know, two-headed Satan. At least there's something to it, rather than me just coming out, oh, Christ, I'm going to have this rubbed out. It's my dreams, you know? Sort of general nuisance dreams.
Yeah, but they're very representative of you and your life.
Well, you know what they are.
They're the feeling of you.
Frustration.
I'm convinced they're there to make me glad I'm broken even when I wake up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's all relative.
Is a hassle to you.
Yeah.
Life is one big fender bender.
Yeah. I get up in the morning and I go, oh, I'm going to have to deal with that ding in the car. And then I go, oh, no, wait. Oh, it's just a dream. Oh, I'm even. Not the prince, but I didn't get the ding in the car. I'm just sort of... I'm even, and I feel all right.
The feeling you describe with that dream is exactly the way you make me feel when you describe your work.
Really?
Yeah, like work is like a fender bender for you. It's like a pain in the neck, a hassle.
Well.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, work, yeah.
Yeah, not all work.
Really?
No, you know, I don't...
You like masturbating?
No, I don't mind writing on Kimmel's show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I don't really do that much of it.
No, you don't work, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm still, technically it's work.
Yeah,
it's a job.
Yeah.
I don't mind
that. I just have somebody calls it work. But.
No, you know what I've truthfully found?
That's good.
I do like...
So you found what you like, at least.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I like actually, I'd rather be a roadie than in the band. I like actually showing up for the event and stuff, but not actually having to do anything.
The pressure of performance.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was nice. Well, today at the writers' table is a big thing. It's like Quentin Tarantino is going to be co-hosting with Jimmy tonight, and you know we're trying to figure out we're going to do a bit with him. How are we going to do this? And there's you know emotions and tempers are flaring. And listen, people, this is for tonight's show. We got to get. And I was sitting at the end of the table thinking, hope you guys figure this one out. It's great. I'm hungry. Yeah. You know?
It's like Homer sitting there watching life go by. You dancing through donut land.
I do, and I do want it to work out.
Of course.
And we'll occasionally offer a suggestion, but hey, knock yourselves out.
I saw you work. We went up and spoke at Stanford. You did a little session by the phone. It was basically,
hello, Sky.
telling jokes over the phone.
Yeah. And let's see.
Yeah, it's
something
great.
Like he has a llama or something.
It becomes surreal doing monologue jokes over the phone.
Yeah.
When it's like,
it's more
see.
Surreal listening to you dictate to some poor sap at the other end.
Okay, Janet Jackson and her boob. Oh, let's see, what else we got? Gas prices. They're gone up 2 cents. What do we got? God, that's expensive. Yeah? No?
That's funny. No,
that's funny.
It's not funny.
Well, if you deliver it the way I would do it, it would be funny. That's expensive.
Cowbell.
Yeah. Then hit the triangle. All right, Drew, stop bothering me. Jake?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, see? Jake's going to take my approach to work one
day.
He's
got it. Yeah.
Yeah, you may have what we call not having it.
It?
Yeah.
All right. Is that not taking it? That's a bad thing, right?
Not having it, Jake.
Yeah, that's
okay.
What I got.
What's up?
I got what they call
not it.
Not it.
All right, well, hack. What my problem is I have gone from masturbating about maybe 2 or 3 times a day to, I'd say, about 5 or 6 times a day.
Yeah.
And it's only been since I've started taking a new medication, and it's Depakote for epilepsy. I was wondering if that medication was what was doing it, or maybe something else, or what.
Well, have you been sleeping less lately?
No, really, the only thing that I've been noticing that's changed is that, obviously, and I'm just kind of, like, nauseous getting used to the medication, I think.
It's hard for me to imagine, given that you're taking the Depakote for seizure disorder and not for manic depression.
Yeah.
The one thing that you'd sort of look at is, gee, could you be becoming manic, and really, could that be part of your seizure disorder for some reason? But you don't sound manic. You don't describe any manic symptoms.
It's barely got a pulse.
Yeah, and Depakote does not typically cause increased sex drive. So, I mean, medicines, of course, can, but...
It normally would cut into it a little, right?
Depakote's fairly neutral. It makes you eat more, basically. It makes you gain
really?
Weight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why? Why does it make you eat more?
These things, all these medicines affect
the
appetite centers and things, yeah.
Mm.
Would there be so basically, I guess the answer would be that the Depakote isn't doing that.
I would be hard pressed to say it was your Depakote. But what's the nature of your seizure disorder? Do you have a head injury or something?
Yeah, well, I'm not exactly 100% sure, but when I was around 6 or 7, I had one of those portable basketball hoops fell down on top of the back of my head, and it hit me. So the hard blows to the head can.
It was just the one, though, right?
What's that?
One'll do it.
Oh, yeah. I'm the doctor's not 100% sure, but, you know, he's like, well, I'd be, you know, pretty bet, you know, I bet that's what caused it.
That makes good sense to me.
Yeah.
All right, but I actually ought to bring it up with your doctor, what's going on with this, because it is a little bit peculiar. This is sort of, really, 5 times a day, it's look into it, as they say.
He's not going to bring this up with his doctor.
He should. Just tell him increase sex drive. Really increase sex drive.
Yeah, forget 17.
He'll translate what that means.
That's 13 times a day.
Yeah. Really increased.
Yeah, you know, he's going to size Jake up, realize he is womanless, and then realize
what increased
sex drive
means. Yeah, but he's obviously not
sex drive means. All right. Also, couldn't he stop?
Stop masturbating?
Or at least, you know, reel it in just a little bit?
That'd be an interesting experiment. See if he could.
I think even I could pull this off.
Yeah, for a day or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, speaking of pull off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it's time to get down to business. You know what I mean? So give it like 36 hours or something, then really go sick on myself.
Yeah.
Take yourself out to dinner.
That's right. Big night.
That's what happened.
Rebecca? You're 26.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. What's up?
I have ovarian dyskinesis.
Ooh.
I was
you have what?
Ovarian dyskinesis, what they told me.
Dyskinesis?
My uterus, cervix, all that never really developed fully. Mostly the ovaries are almost non-existent. So
okay.
I was given hormones. This was at 13, induced menopause.
Wait, hold on. They gave you hormones because you were already in menopause, right?
Well, see, I don't even understand how this all works physiologically.
No kidding. How did they find out some? Hold on. How did they find out something's wrong in the first place?
She probably didn't get puberty at the right age. Right?
Exactly. I had hypothyroidism very severely, and so the endocrinologist started to investigate it. Mm-hmm. And he was the one who diagnosed it, basically.
Do you do you have an underdeveloped system, or do you have an autoimmune system that attacks your glands?
See, this is what I'm really curious about, because a couple of years ago, I came down with rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah,
that's a million questions I could ask you.
Okay, well, did you have Graves' disease or did you have hypothyroidism?
No,
you had hypo. Mm-hmm. Well, usually Graves, but thyroid disease of various types goes along with rheumatoid arthritis, but there are multiple endocrine failure syndromes where your immune system, in addition to attacking the joints, attacks your endocrine system.
Hold on a second, Drew. Are you a real doctor or just a love doctor? Yeah. Man.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. So, Rebecca.
So, really,
this is bad, right?
Yeah, my current question stemmed from worrying about HRT or hormone therapy.
Yeah, but you're not really
for so long.
But technically, you're not HRT because you are just like you're getting thyroid replacement for a gland that's failed. You're getting endocrine, or rather estrogen replacement for ovary that's failed. Come 50, 60 years of age, then they would talk about taking you off it. You absolutely need it now. You would have abnormal sexual functioning. Mm. You would get dry.
Right.
Dryness. You would get bone disease. Are you getting dryness?
Well, yeah, I went and I hadn't been. I have to admit, I hadn't been taking my pills, hormones. But
it's rather serious for you because you'll get bone disease. You'll get osteoporosis at a pretty young age.
Are you married?
No, but I have a boyfriend. So I saw an OBGYN and talked to them, and they gave me a
cream.
A cream, yes.
Yeah.
And so I was just
where do you put the cream
inside in the chute. It's an estrogen cream.
I wonder where does it go, Adam.
Where does it go? I don't know.
Ovarian dysgenesis, is that right? Hypogenesis.
Well, that's what they told me.
All right. So there you go. You need to take your medicines. Your body doesn't produce these hormones normally. So you got to take them by mouth.
How do they put them up there?
Well, the cream is just women with are deficient in estrogen get dryness and sort of a thinning of the vaginal lining. Mm-hmm. And the vulva lining, and so they put a cream all around it inside, and it beefs
it
up again.
Do it. There's no
rubbing involved.
Those sticks you use to get honey out of the jar. They're sort of multi-layered.
Like, with a little round, hive on the end of it.
Yeah, that's exactly
what they used to. Yeah. And
I would think that would work.
Yeah. Whatever's laying around.
Actually, what they use for it looks more like a little pocket rocket. It's got a little plunge on it.
Oh, really?
It looks like you put it in.
Then when it comes out of your nose, you've topped off. You're good. Yeah. All right. Well, that's good times. Oh, man.
Poor Andrew. Let me see what she's on for rheumatoid arthritis. Just out of curiosity. She's probably on a growth hormone.
Rebecca?
Uh-huh.
What are you on for the arthritis?
I have Remicade and methotrexate, among other things. Yeah,
have you tried Humira or any of the other ones?
No, I hadn't tried those. They put me on methotrexate.
It's the same thing. Well, methotrexate you'll take with the Remicade or these tumor necrosis factor inhibitors. This is good times.
If I had diabetes, I'd go in there and they'd go, Mr. Carolla, you have diabetes. I said, take it now.
Yeah.
Let's take it now because I can't.
Prophylactic.
I won't be able to keep
it all
up.
Off. Put me on dialysis.
You want an arm?
Dialysis.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Or how long does it take for one of those wheelchairs you move with your mouth? Go get one of those. So this is it. I can barely brush my teeth.
Yes, I know.
I can barely.
You would be a catastrophe with self-care.
Physically
needs.
Use my other arm to hold the to move the arm that's holding the brush. That's how difficult even toothbrushing is for me, Drew.
It would be really.
I couldn't imagine that all the pills and the
measuring
stuff
your
the
blood
couch.
Sugars. Oh yeah.
I'd be like.
By the way, she may get diabetes too with all this.
Take it now. That'd be my thing.
Let's see if she got diabetes too.
Oh please, Drew, leave her be. Let the woman die in dignity.
No, she's taking care of herself, so she's resisting a little bit.
All right. Rebecca?
Diabetes?
I'm sorry. I just So don't worry about all the scary hormone replacement.
No, that does not apply to you.
Diabetes, okay. Too? You have diabetes?
No, and I'm almost off the prednisone, so.
Good. So okay. You're just on the Remicade.
All right. Yeah. You're a God-fearing woman?
if, whatever it takes to take care of all my problems.
All right, baby doll.
Practical woman.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, look, take that medication.
It's good. You live in a time when there's things like Remicade that can put rheumatoid arthritis into remission rather readily, so that's
right.
Good times.
You know what I like? I like the real condescending radio when they do this. You take that medication because we need you around for a long time because we're going to be, as if somehow we're dependent on the person to call. I know it sounds morbid, but, you know, I'm not talking about us.
I hear the...
I got to tell you, it's a rheumatoid arthritis. I tell you what... What did it take there, Drew? Is it prednisone? I tell you something vaginally, but I thought it was spots. The goddamn thing. I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. 7:22 after 7:11. Jim is here from Pennywise. Say this band Rock and Rolls. I'll tell you about another night. Now I'm not talking. But I'm talking about Drew. Drew calls in. This guy down on. Might as well be talking Japanese with the prednisone, the mayor 7:11 on the show. Having a time to start riding the diabetes. I got to be on dialysis yourself. Listen to them. 7:24 after 7 o'clock. Jim here from Pennywise. This band knows how to rock and roll. Got a little something coming up at the Surf Rider Foundation. Kids get out there. Really save the earth. I think what they're doing is great. You get out there and you're hitting CBGT with a dot bikini. I'll tell you what. Truly there. I never tried this one time in Maui over there with the first ex Ace Gorilla out there. We tried to do a little sermon. I got myself a longboard. I wouldn't say the thing was long, but... Don Ho, I'm not. 7:27 after 7 o'clock. Big Jim here from Pennywise. So I'm on the longboard. You know what I'm saying? Hotels on the corner coming up with a layup. I'm out there, you know. I got 7 to the point. I'm going to shake my ass. Guy comes up to oil down. He's got a T-Torch. Spin the thing around the cross the serpent of my 7:31 at 7 o'clock. Listen, love right there. Pennywise, here it is, rock and roll band. Surf Rider from
Rheumatoid Arthritis.
Rheumatoid Arthritis. Break us out. I'll tell you what, right now, and diabetes.
If you had diabetes,
I'll tell you what,
don't drop trial.
No, I'll tell you, this close to dropping.
No, don't do it.
7:32 at 7 o'clock. So I'm out there and whacking and enjoying the seven of the diamond handles. And I'm out there. Funny, trying to get over my knees and pearl. 7:33, 33. All right. This guy says, big Hawaiian guy, speaking of that, he just speak a lick of hand, you know what I mean? I can't understand. He's like, come on, hold on, hold on. And I'm like, hey, it sounds lovely. He's like, come on, hold on, hold on. Hold on, hold on. Yeah, I'm a man over there. And I'm saying, hey, do you speak hold on, hold on? He's like, oh, hold on, hold on. He thinks I said, how about I say, he said, hold on, hold on, hold on. 7:34, 34, 7 o'clock with Jimmy. Surf Rider Foundation.
Oh,
all right,
here
let's
we go.
Keep moving.
Let's
the phone's gone. Yeah. It takes all kinds, but it's all.
Let's go, Ace.
Tracy, 20 years of age, called his voice. I don't know. Go to the love line. Jimmy Ernst, Pennywise. What would you do?
Tracy.
Yeah?
Hey, you're on.
There we are. You're on with Josh Jamie and myself and I'm Charlie and Jimmy Ernst, Pennywise. What's going on? 44, 7 o'clock. Yeah.
Traffic and weather.
Traffic and weather coming up out of that. What do you got there?
Okay. Well, me and my partner, we have a double-sided dildo.
Oh. Funny story. Back in Waikiki. This guy went about 270 pounds. I don't know what got lost in transition. Next thing you know, I feel like the pig on this. I got more than an apple in my mouth. I'm trying to tell you what. 7:41, 40 minutes, 7 o'clock. Double side of a sailor. Trader, what's, what's going on there, baby?
Because me and my partner have been together for 6 months, but not yet tested.
Mm-hmm. Neither one of you have been tested.
Uh-huh.
No. All right, mm-hmm. And?
And we
Jim's mouth's hurting from lying. From laughing.
Lying.
Lying, yeah, nice. Pretending to laugh. Tracy, yes, and?
Go ahead. And we use it quite frequently, so I was wondering if you could transmit sexual disease through that.
Yeah, it's called a fomite. It's when you put bacteria or infecting agents on a inanimate object, basically, and then pass it to another person. Sure.
You got to keep it in one of those barber shop, you know, things that keep
barbicide.
Yeah, you know, things that keep the combs in.
Sure, a little blue thing with the.
Yeah, that's how my mom would shoot right there on the bathroom shelf there. Yeah. Yeah. How about
getting everybody tested here, Tracy? How about that?
Well, your girlfriend doesn't have any diseases, does she?
Not that I know of.
All right, do you have any diseases that your girlfriend
well,
knows
not
of?
Not that I know of.
So you're just wondering, you're just musing about this, huh?
Yeah.
Drew, there's a certain sort of thought that if you engage in enough debaucherous behavior, even if it's with a single partner, eventually God will
throw something in.
Stricken you with some venereal disease.
What about Emily?
You getting bogus here now, Drew?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We got bogus on this one, Tracy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Did she hang up or she just says
no.
That?
You're still right. There. She just...
This is a bogus call, Tracy.
But thanks for not hanging up. That was good. Thanks for hanging in.
Sticking with it.
Most people would just kind of run off scared. Tracy's hanging in.
And let me say this, Tracy, and I really get serious on the show, but we're here to help people. People like our last caller, they have serious diseases. This woman had rheumatoid arthritis. Hey, you come calling in. You're talking about it. Tell us all.
Here we go again.
I got to tell you, though, fellas. Drew, I tell the time the old lady tried to don the double donger on the age. That was not a pretty sight. I said, "What's up? How are you going down on up the old poop shit?" 7:33.
Still 7:33.
Yeah, but built a time machine, went back. Jimmy, every Pennywise, Surfrider Foundation. I was having this
coming
on.
Watch out for brake lights on the 110.
Mattress and lanes. Mattress and lanes on 405. Look out for brake lights. Signal alerts.
Caltrans at work.
Caltrans at work. Slow and go on the 405. All right, let's take a short break. What's happening now, Drew? I'll tell you what I have to do this break. I had a whole shit to do on the old hill. I may squeeze off at number three.
Number three?
Jimmy, can you shave it at number okay, but shave it around. We got another penny on the shore. Jimmy's right there. Jimmy's great.
Nice guy.
Hell of a guy. There's many of us. No quarrel with Jim. That's what I'm like. Yeah. We're going to take away Chris. We're going to take a break. We're going to get something out. All right. Well, that's right. Everybody. Buddy, it's Love Line. Madam, that's Dr. Drew. Colby in here tomorrow night from Survivor. Jim here tonight from Pennywise. And Surfrider Foundation is putting on a Earth Day event at Manhattan Beach. Beautiful beach out there. Strand, rollerblading, hot chicks. It's all good. It's going on, first time I've ever said it's all good, Drew. April 24th, that's this Saturday. Go down there, sign up. Do whatever you want. Watch, participate. www.surfrider.org.
I forget. Is there a pier in Manhattan Beach?
Yeah.
Is it by the pier?
It's about a mile north of the pier. Mm. And Hermosa Beach just got named the best beach in America.
Really?
Yeah, by Reader's Digest.
Really?
How about that?
Why?
What the hell do the people from Reader's Digest know about beaches?
I spent a lot of time in Hermosa in high school.
Yeah, they said it's clean and near shops and bars and everything.
Well, that's true. The town's gotten nice.
It's a good time. You know, what's kind of nice about the nature that we didn't really know back in the 70s is it repairs itself.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I mean, and if you think about it, why wouldn't it? I mean, you get a cut in your hand. It's not like, you know, you cut yourself on a bottle cap when you're 9. It's not like you're 49 and walking around with an open wound.
Well, the rhetoric we got in the 70s was, we've crossed some threshold where it can no longer absorb any of this. It's too late. We're spiraling out of control.
Yeah,
remember all that?
Well, but it was also, I think, back in the day, there was this notion that once you pollute a river, that river or lake or
they
body
use words
of water
like dead.
Is polluted.
No, it's dead.
Yeah, well, but I mean, what I mean is it's not like we had a rich history of bouncing back
right.
from pollution.
Right.
We just thought it was, and it sort of makes sense. Like, you dump enough crap into Lake Michigan, Lake Michigan becomes polluted, and then you move to another lake.
Yeah.
This whole idea of nature sort of repairing itself if we leave it alone, you know, it's like we stop cutting on ourselves and the body will heal and move forward. It's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's going on quite a bit with the bay out here.
Yeah, it has gotten better. I mean, it was really bad for a while.
Right.
You know? And plus you got Hyperion, one place to treat all the crap from the entire L.A. Basin and a lot of runoff. You know, I mean, not to get on the soapbox, but there are a lot of things people can do, you know, pesticides, no pesticides, obviously. Conserve water, not be watering off your driveways, and you know, obviously no oil down the storm drains, because all the storm drains in LA go straight to the beach. So
yeah, and where do in other cities, where do they go? I mean, like in New York, the storm drains can't go to the beach, or can
the
they? Or they go into the river?
Rivers,
yeah. Do they just hit the river?
The water
in Chicago, does it go right into the river?
The lake.
Here we always sort of make a special effort to say it goes, this runs right to the right to the ocean.
Yep.
It seems like a bad plan. Maybe
that's all we could come up with.
I understand it. Is there a way to treat that? Is there a way to divert it? You know what I'm saying?
Well, by the way, it all goes to the LA River in reality.
Right.
And then that goes to the ocean, so they could catch it.
Right. All right.
Interesting.
All right. I'm just, maybe it's too much volume to deal with, but I would imagine every city's laid out this way, right?
You think.
All right. So it's not just us. Yeah, us and Chicago. All right, let's go to the phones and speak to Michelle, who's 19. Michelle?
Hello? Hey.
What's happening?
Talking about Chicago reminds me that'll be in O'Hare at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Everybody, please, wake up at 4:45, 4:50. Look at the clock. Hug
and
a loved one if you need to.
Then there's that walk from the C gates to the B gates.
Underground
tunnel with the
goddamn. Oh, they're trying to do that here, right? Those are the worst.
Does O'Hare have which one's a giant U where you can sort of look through the glass and see at a distance where you need to be, except for there's several million miles of carpet between you and that destination. Yeah. All right, people, let's stop moving. Let's just relax, everyone, with the movement. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stay home, Drew. Michelle?
Hey, Adam, I love you so much.
Thanks, baby doll.
And
what's
I love
up?
You, Drew, too.
Thanks, Michelle. What's going on?
I wanted to know what the long-term effects of methamphetamine use is.
Well, hopefully nothing, other than triggering a very severe illness we call addiction, and that would need to be treated, because anything now that any substances that you use will continue to fuel that disease process. The more significant problems that a lot of people get into with methamphetamine, though, is they get a destruction, in fact, of parts of the very deep structures in the brain. And one of the evidence that might be going on would be if you're having memory problems. Short-term memory problems and mood problems, depression. Those are the hallmarks that people are stuck with after a lot of speed use.
Yeah. And how do you know, like, if you're an addict?
You can't stop using. You want to stop, but you can't.
Because I've been clean for 4 months.
That's good.
But
maybe you're not. But the hallmark is not stopping in spite of consequences. And then also a biological history, some evidence of alcoholism or addiction in your family history.
Yeah, because I don't know about that, but
are you adopted?
My mom is.
Is she an addict?
She was.
Okay, so you may have inherited that gene from her. So there you go.
Okay.
Hold on.
Here's the thing. Speed is such a horrible drug. I mean, I understand the allure of many drugs.
You smoking pot, Michelle?
What?
You smoking pot?
I was. I used to.
Well, yeah, so you're off everything for 4 months?
What? Yeah.
You're off everything.
Yeah, and it's horrible because that's all I think about.
Yeah, you got to get some recovery here. You got to be treated so you're not what we call white knuckling. Because white knuckling, it's like trying not to eat. Eventually, you're going to eat. It's just
right.
Eventually.
All right. You're going to go. If you're obsessed with it, if it's, you're consumed with it, it's not going to work.
People understand about addiction, that's what addiction is. It's a usurpation. It's an overtaking of the motivational systems of the brain. Everything, every powerful motivation is about going back and using. Everything. It usurps eating and socializing and everything else. It's all taken over by this one need.
Right.
And that doesn't go away.
Well, that's why you lose your family and your job and your car and everything.
And that's why you can't stay abstinent. That's why you go back.
All right. What about Rachel, who fell off a roof after getting wisdom tooth pulled? That sounds interesting. Rachel?
Yeah.
You fell off a roof after getting a wisdom tooth pulled.
Yeah, I got all four of them pulled on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeesh. Last Monday, not this Monday.
Uh-huh.
Tuesday night, I went out with some friends, and around 5:30, I took a Motrin 800 for my swelling because my teeth were like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out to a high school where my friends were all hanging out because we don't have no cars, you know, or whatever. And so I took maybe 6 shots or something, but that didn't.
What?
That wasn't like.
What did you take shots of?
Vodka. It was, like, cheap, and I wasn't, like, wasted or anything, you know?
Yeah. No, 6-year-old for 6 shots of vodka. My goodness. I'll just get started.
That's just a primer. Yeah, I'd do that in the morning before I headed out to a homeroom.
And like,
cheap vodka. I like the stuff in this, like, squeeze bottle, like that foggy plastic. So crazy.
Yeah,
Russian name.
Yeah.
All right, what's the question?
Well, I went on the roof later on, and I went to get off, and I fell from, like, maybe 13 feet. It wasn't a fall. You're supposed to hang and then swing forward a little and drop, you know?
Oh, you were like, breaking into the school. You're sitting on the roof of the gym drinking shots of vodka?
Yeah, pretty much. And,
were you on the gym?
No, we were on, on a hallway.
Oh, okay. This is hold on a second. This is a albino white trash,
I get it.
Because first off, when you're white trash, you go up to the roof to do your nasty business. Here's where the trouble happens, on the roof and in the basement.
Mm-hmm,
the middle part of the structure's fine.
Yeah.
No problems there. As a matter of fact, they don't go there because that's where the schooling and learning and stuff goes on. I'll be up on the roof doing shots and playing with the pigeons, or I'll be down in the basement killing a hooker.
Yeah.
These are your choices.
Yeah.
I'm trying to build a woman out of some fallopian tubing I took from another hooker. But, go up to the roof, because it's like how cats sit on the refrigerator. It's safe up there when you're 16 and you're drinking. You hear keys coming down the hall.
So she tried to flip down into the building
fell. She did hang drop. She did that thing where you hang on the gutter.
But she fell.
Yeah. I guess so. 5 shots. So, Rachel?
Okay, what had happened was I kind of got a head rush, I guess, from the hang.
Yeah.
And I went to let go, and my right hand kind of hooked onto it, and I was kind of like trying to drop, and it gave me a half spin, you know, maybe a 3/4 of the way.
Yeah, did a little cartwheel.
Yeah, and not a cartwheel, like a spin, like a cork.
Oh, you scooping cork-wise.
Yeah.
No, that's not bad.
And I landed on my feet, but I hit my face on a hand railing like a pole.
Oh,
and I got a black eye from it, and I hit my my nose, right under my nose, where my teeth are.
Uh-oh.
And I think I might have messed up my congestion, because I've had allergies, but I have dry allergies, and now I'm really congested, and
Well, that's all just swelling from the injury. You might have broken your nose.
You could have
fractured the cartilage in your nose. A lot of things you could
do. I went to the doctor and got x-rays, but it's
all right, good.
Oh, I know the doctor. I can imagine the doctor, after he got the wisdom tooth pulled, I want you should stay elevated. Don't and put some cotton, pack some, and don't whack your face on any steel railing, please. Try not to pile drive your own head into metal poles.
I need to straighten some out.
And just by the way, for just the next 10 to 14 days,
and then go back to your old ways.
Get back to the pile driver.
But here's the deal. I need to straighten something out, because people are always saying to me, well, she didn't break her leg. She fractured it. No break, fracture. Ladies and gentlemen, fracture and break, same word.
Same word.
There is no difference.
And then
fracture is a break.
And then compound fracture is a break clean through.
No.
With compound, it coming out?
Coming out.
Has to be coming
out. A displaced fracture means it moves to the point that the alignment of the bone is off now.
Right, that's a clear
It's a through-and-through displaced
through
fracture.
That's displaced. Yeah. It's a nice thing to think about. You know, it's funny, Rachel's talking about taking her Motrin and then doing the six shots. And because people do this, it's like, we talk to people all the time where they go like, I went to this bar, drank a party ball of Jägermeister, and next thing you know, this dude was on top of me. And I think he may have put something in my drink. I think I was drugged. Yeah. 30 shots of Jaeger. Why would he need to waste a roofie on you? Yeah. You know, but you know what the new one is, I'm realizing, is food poisoning. People, I was working with a guy when I was in New York, day of the big show, he was vomiting the whole morning. I was in his hotel room, it's like noon, he keeps heaving, he's trying to type something, he's heaving, he's writing, he's heaving. I said, what, Jordan, what happened? You've met Jordan, he's coming in, he's dude, I think I got food poisoning. I'm like, what happened? I was out boozing until about 4 a.m.
Yeah.
At some point, I ate some crap. You know, it's like, well, how much were you drinking? Hold on, I got a vomit. He goes and vomits. He comes back. He's like, I had about 9 vodka Collins and a few shots. It's like, you weren't food poisoning. Yeah. You were poison poisoning. You drank too much.
Right. There are three ways.
You're boozing till 5 a.m. Yes. and now vomiting at 11:30 the following morning means you're hungover.
The vomiting can be alcohol withdrawal, which is hangover. It can be gastritis, which is an inflammation of the stomach, very common, and pancreatitis.
What's going on with the food?
Food poisoning is rare. In settings like that, it'd be rare.
Food poisoning got a new publicist about 3 years ago, and it's all over the place because every time, like, there's a guy's like, we had this at work a few weeks back. Like, I had the flu, I was heaving, I was the only one that didn't show up for work, by the way. Everyone else,
Jimmy pointed that out.
Yeah, Jimmy had to point that out on the show.
That was nice.
The only guy that didn't show up, Adam. Two other guys like had the flu and made it in too, and everyone's like,
"Oh, that was the weekend I had to keep calling."
I was heaving.
You were like, your wife was convinced he was going to die.
I was going.
I want to make sure because
I throw up like a man. I don't do any of this pussy crap. Like, I'm like,
traffic and weather. It's
eyes bugging out like a wacky pack card or something. Yeah. I'm like the guys who drove the
Rat Fink.
Rat Fink eyes just dawing like the fox. In the cartoon that saw the hot chick or the wolf, you know. Just
kill me now.
Boom, yeah. So it's incredible violent heaving. But the point is everybody, food poisoning.
Yeah.
Food poisoning. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I had the flu.
Yeah.
I had the flu. You had food poisoning. And there's another guy who ate lunch with us who got it. And it's like, but there was another 15 of us who were fine.
And by the way, that's food poisoning. The virus could have gotten everybody too.
Sure, it's going around.
Yeah.
People all work together. I just want to know, why is everything food poisoning now? When did it back in vogue?
Yeah, it's a good question. And people don't have any idea what they're talking about.
No, and why do they like it so much? Like, I would rather just have the flu. I don't like the idea of eating a piece of shrimp that some guy wiped some fecal matter on. I'd rather just get sick. You know what I mean? It's a piece of bay shrimp that's been up a guy's ass.
No, that's understandable. I mean, you know, if you want to do it yourself, if you want to choose to have
and let's,
that.
Let's work this out.
That's
because
what you're into.
I did the food. We've done this a couple of times, the food poisoning math.
Yes.
And this is just to straighten it out for everybody. I've had food poisoning twice. Each time it came in 12 hours after the questionable food was eaten.
Yes, 8 to 12 hours.
Now,
period.
People think that you get food poisoning and you're throwing up later that night from dinner.
Unusual.
You wake up.
It's the middle of the night.
If you ate dinner at 7:30 in the evening, you wake up at 5 in the morning heaving.
Yeah.
It's not 10 o'clock that night.
Yes.
You don't know it. Well, I don't know. How does that work, Drew? It doesn't hit you?
It's a toxin. It has to get into your system. It has to build. Yeah, absolutely.
Here's how I know. I did a clinical study on how food poisoning works, which is we ate lunch at the Man Show at 2 o'clock, in which we ate every time we taped at 2 o'clock. There was a bad thing of like oyster soup going along. Jimmy convinced me to eat it.
Eesh.
I was saying to him, this tastes like crap. Something's wrong with this. He said, it's smoked oysters.
Oh,
this is how
no.
it's supposed to be. Everybody ate it. And then that night, everyone piled onto a bus to go to a bachelor party.
Oh,
we went to a strip joint. in City of Industry. Went out to the peppermint rhino or something, or the hippo, the purple hippo, or whatever the hell. Anyway, the point is coming home, it was 2:30, and everybody was crapping all over themselves.
Oh, their diarrhea.
It was coming out of the ass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and probably some heaving later on, too.
Food poison. There
heaving
you go.
And crapping. The point is it was right at 12 hours, and it was 20 guys.
Yeah.
So that was my experiment. We all ate at the same time. We all crapped ourselves at the same time.
Well, diarrhea and abdominal pain is food poisoning, not just the vomiting.
All right.
Just vomiting alone would be rare food poisoning.
All right. So kitties, it's about 12 hours. Is it different with different food?
Yes. Well, different bacterium.
Different than shrimp.
Chicken is Campylobacter.
Yeah.
Oysters is Vibrio species. It's most
Hold on, dude. You, a real doctor, just a love doctor.
And then the dairy stuff, the sour creams, that kind of stuff, that's staph, and that's the common one.
All right. All right, but all takes good 8, 12 hours to kick in.
Some are longer than others, yeah.
All right. Jim here from Pennywise. Take a quick break. 720 FM. We'll be right back. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jim here from Pennywise.
We didn't hear another Pennywise song?
No. We're okay.
No, it's too late, Drew.
Oh,
we're out of, we're almost out of show.
Oh, dude.
No, we love Pennywise.
Yeah. I've heard it.
Yeah, what do you mean, do we need to? It's can
Shall
we? May we?
Might we?
Please hear another Pennywise song?
Let's do it.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, we're over it.
No, no, we love Pennywise, but we're going to take like a call and a half. I got to do my radio gibberish for 20 minutes, and then that's the show.
All right, here we go. Let's get to
All
it.
All right. Lisa?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up? Great.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. I just had a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
4 months ago. She'll be 4 months on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had one period since, and it was excruciatingly painful, that just pressure.
Excruciatingly?
And so I told somebody.
Crosby on the other line. Go ahead.
So I called in, like, an Ask a Nurse, and... because I don't have insurance anymore.
I thought that was a new word she was making. Another word she was making up for saying.
Ask a nurse?
I called like an ask a nurse.
Like a number you called.
Yeah.
Ask.
All right, and what? And what's the
what'd
deal?
They say?
They said that my uterus is trying to drop down into my vagina.
Because of what?
Because of my muscles. When I delivered, she broke my tailbone, so I haven't been able to really... I wasn't able to do a lot. I wasn't able to use any kind of muscle or do any kind of exercise or anything.
When you say she broke your tailbone, you're talking about your daughter?
Pushing, come through the canal, things broke.
Yeah.
Did you break your tailbone or did you tear your rectum?
Broke my tailbone.
And tore your rectum?
Yes.
So you had a through-and-through tear, vaginal and rectal tear.
Hold on. Remember I was talking about heaving?
There it comes. How come they didn't do an episiotomy? Hang on a second.
Hold on.
How come you didn't do
it? Break your tailbone
giving
birth?
You don't appreciate that one out of five women would die in childbirth because babies couldn't get out.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, but still it's very traumatic sometimes. How come they didn't do an episiotomy on you?
They didn't have time.
It was a natural
between the time that my water broke and the time that I delivered, I went from a 4 to a +2 and she was already crowning.
And you weren't in the hospital?
Yeah, I was in the hospital.
And they still didn't do an episiotomy on you?
Nope.
You mean centimeters?
She just coming
down. I was 4 centimeters
coming through.
When I dilated when my
All right, and
broke.
Somebody told you your uterus is prolapsing? No, it's not.
Okay.
So what's your question?
How do you break your tailbone?
The kid comes through and just smashes it on the way through.
Yeah.
Wow, it's like you gave birth to a wrecking ball.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she's a big one.
Oh.
Are you not diabetic, are you?
No.
Okay.
My kid broke a bone on the way out. That's immediate timeout.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Immediate timeout. And maybe if the nurse wasn't there, I'd show the kid the back of my hand.
That's right.
You don't break daddy's bone.
Let me hear what Lisa's question.
Not daddy's
question,
ass
please.
Bone. He used that to sit on.
What is your
very
question?
Very important.
What would be the pressure be? Because it's like a painful pressure, like in my crotch. I don't know.
It could be 100 things. There's absolutely no way. We may have a rectocele or a cystocele now, maybe how the thing's healed. You have the sutures out and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you had a follow-up? You checked with the doctor after your delivery?
I had one. They canceled my other one, and then my insurance went up. So I've only yeah. I only
you need to get yourself to a county facility and see what's going on. It'd be very unlikely if you'd have a prolapse at your young age, after a big traumatic childbirth like this.
You get the insurance.
But there's lots and lots of things that can be going on here, and you've got to get your periods started up again, regularized. You may this could be 100 different things.
I know that my period's going to start again, and that's when the pressure starts.
There's so many things. It could be endometritis. Still, you could have some inflection. You could have some even retained products. All kinds of things it could be.
Hey, are you married?
No.
Get yourself to a county facility and just get this checked out.
You got a
it's
boyfriend?
Probably going to be okay. But
do I have what?
You have a boyfriend?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was living in Hawaii when I got pregnant, and I just moved back to Oregon.
Are you overweight?
I wasn't before I got pregnant.
Mm-hmm. You are now.
All right, I weigh 155 now, and I'm 5'7".
Go to a county facility, and I imagine county facility in Oregon would be like Shangri-La compared to like county USC,
of course.
Right?
It'll be fine.
We got to
I understand people that it's county facilities wherever you are will take care of you for free. If you show up, they are required to take care of you. And they're good for the most part.
I just, you know, I used to, when I used to not have insurance, I used to go to county USC and it was just hobos having a defecation competition in the hall. It's just lines of hobos and guys just crapping themselves. sitting next to a guy at a piece of rusty rebar sticking out of his neck, and another guy's just shedding virus, whatever, AIDS and hepatitis.
I have a good time.
Good time.
Great. Great. Yeah. Yeah. But Oregon, I imagine, be decent, right?
Of course.
Right, everything's better in Oregon. Just go in there and throw yourself on the mercy of the Oregon court.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to get into the part with no boyfriend, no husband, nothing.
I know. No. Let's get our health care taken care of. It's going to be fine. It could be some infection, could be some growths left behind, could be some prolapse of things from all the tearing and stuff that went on. Things may even need to be re-repaired, but get it checked out. Could be all just a urine infection, for God's sake. It could be endometriosis.
All right. We can't speculate.
Yeah.
Even though we spend 2 hours a night doing it.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right. Well, that's the show. Pennywise, everybody. Surf Rider Foundation. www.surfrider.org. Coming up this Saturday.
Come on down, everybody.
Manhattan
Have
Beach,
a good time.
Hot chicks, good times, sunshine, thongbacks. Fantastic. Jim. God bless you.
Thank you very much. Thanks
good to
for
see
having
you.
Me.
Much success, continued success for Pennywise. And you come back anytime you like without Fletch.
All right.
And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.